Patrick Windhorst, Illinois State Representative. Patrick, how are you this morning, buddy?
Doing great. How are you, Tom?
Good, good. I gotta tell you that, you know, the response to the announcement that there was going to be no fall veto session, people were just like, come. I mean, I think people had really been anticipating that return and seeing what the legislators did upon that return.
Right. I know on our side, on the GOP side, we were ready to get back to work. We had several things we wanted to address and discuss and hopefully legislate on, but it's not going to happen. It's frustrating, but it's not surprising. The handwriting has been on the wall that it was going to be canceled for a little while, but after the election results on Tuesday led many of us to believe it wasn't going to happen until next year.
Well, what impact did the election results have on that decision?
Well, this is my view on it. The Republicans in Illinois did better than was anticipated, at least in the General Assembly. And the progressive tax was defeated, and there were some other victories we had throughout the state. And because the Democrats didn't do as well as they anticipated in the suburbs of Chicago, I think there's some questions being raised, even more so about Speaker Madigan and his caucus, even beyond the ethical concerns, whether his leadership will be able to allow their caucus to grow as it had in the past.
Well, I think when you look at, in particular, Senator Dick Durbin's comments last week, they are assigning the Democratic failures in the state to Mike Madigan. Or more accurately, when you look at the comments, they assign the ability of the Republicans to weaponize those accusations against things like the progressive tax. I think that's more intellectually honest.
That's right. And we've seen some pushback on that response in recent days, but it's clear the message that was put out, particularly in some of the judicial races as well as the progressive tax race, is that Mike Madigan cannot be trusted with more power in Springfield. And I think that was a large part of the reason why the progressive tax was defeated so soundly, particularly in the northern part of the state. Yeah. We knew here in the southern part it was not going to be popular. But in the northern part, it also failed.
Well, and I talked to many people about this. It was not necessarily a referendum on taxes so much as it was trust.
Exactly. There is a complete lack of confidence in Illinois government to do what it says it's going to do. And we've seen that for years with promises going back to what lottery funds are going to be spent for, what tax increases will do to cut the budget, or I'm sorry, to cut the deficit or to cut the debt. Those promises have been made for years or decades and not been followed through on. So this is just yet one more promise that was not going to be followed through on.
And there was a lot of those. What, the last round of tax, 2017, substantial. I'm still, you know, I got parts of me missing from that last tax increase here in the state of Illinois.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading Paul Shimp's statement. He said yesterday in a press release that I'm disappointed but not surprised that the fall veto session canceled. This cancellation prevents us from holding public hearings on the governor's unilateral coronavirus response plan, meaning the legislature, I should say, will continue to have no voice or role in one of the biggest issues the state has ever faced. And that, too, is another component upon the proposed return that I think people were anxious to see if the legislature would have any effect on what's going on in the response, or it's just completely in the governor's hands.
That's exactly right. We are, as a Republican caucus in the House, wanting to be involved in those decisions, wanting to have legislation enacted to address where the governor can act and where he cannot act and for how long. But we have been completely frustrated in our efforts to do that by the fact the speaker is not calling us back into session. The public needs their representatives representing them in Springfield and being their voice in Springfield. And we on our side are ready to do that.
Well, they said it was COVID, but here's the other thing. The person that you and I know that's going to work at the grocery store today and is an essential employee of the hospital, there's an issue that we're essential and we must go, but our legislators don't. And I think there's a morale issue, a leadership issue. But more specifically, I saw this a little different, Patrick, because last week when Emmanuel Chris Welch decided that the Special Investigative Committee meeting would be postponed because they were waiting on documents for ComEd, and then the next week I see the House is not going back, I connect those two things in my mind that it's just we're not doing anything about the things that people are howling about.
Well, I think it goes exactly back to that lack of trust we talked about just a minute ago, and a lack of confidence in the state government. There's a procedure put forward if someone's ethics are being challenged in the House. There's a procedure put forward for them, that investigation to occur. The proper process was started by Republican leader Durkin, but it has been slow walked the entire process since then. And of course, as you know, the General Assembly will change in January, and it's highly doubtful now with the delays that this process will play itself out until after the new General Assembly is sworn in. So if you're a member of the public, you see this, you say, look, it's just business as usual. Why should I believe anything that comes out of Springfield? And I believe we saw that with the election results on Tuesday.
Just quickly, I want a little house cleaning my mind here. When it comes to the Special Investigative Committee, ComEd documents, Chris Welch says we've got to have these documents, ComEd. I was told that the ComEd is supplying those documents voluntarily.
Yes.
And
that's what my understanding as well.
Right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And seeing if voluntarily, and of course people think, well, great, so voluntarily, so they can't do it for weeks because they're going to be tinkered with. I mean, that trust issue leaks into every doggone thing you do. Now, when it comes back going to the veto session, I think there was something else, and I don't know that because it's the veto session, but if there is no fair tax, the legislature, Senate, House, governor, going to have to start attacking the issue, knowing now with what we did with the budget, counting on there being a fair tax and there not being one. That was incorporated in. There were two kind of budgets, so to speak. At
right.
some point, we have to start addressing the money issue. COVID or not, it's got to be done, and that should be the topic right now because we're drowning in debt.
Well, the budget now will be about $4 billion out of balance by the governor's own estimation. It may actually be larger than that, but by the governor's estimation, it'll be about $4 billion out of balance, or budget hole, that amount. We, as a Republican caucus, had advised back in May when we passed the budget, when the General Assembly passed the budget. Of course, there were no Republican votes on that, but when it was passed, our recommendation was, let's not rely on new taxes. Let's not rely on excessive borrowing. Let's instead take the effort at that time to actually make the cuts we need to make in the budget. And then, if it turns out there is COVID relief that comes from the federal government later that assists with the budget, then we can take that and use it as it's appropriate rather than relying on it as we're doing now. Of course, as Republicans, we didn't want the progressive tax to begin with. Unfortunately, that advice or argument lost, and the budget was passed as it was with assumptions on tax increases and borrowing, of course, from the federal government and assumptions on COVID relief from the federal government, which hasn't come to pass yet. That has put us in a huge hole. Yesterday, Republican leader Durkin had sent a letter to the governor essentially saying, look, this is what we wanted in May. It didn't happen. Now you, governor, need to take your efforts as governor and make cuts to the budget, which he can do.
Yes.
Tell his agencies not to expend money. And earlier in the year, he had advised, the governor advised 6.5% cuts. He just needs to institute those. He had asked his agencies to come forward with those potential cuts. Those need to be instituted. If the legislature is not going to be involved in the process.
$7,991,909,374.53. Hey, it's down $2 billion from Monday. So that's to be said, but that does not include the borrowing. And of course, something we've already borrowed, $2.05 billion short-term, then the pension and all the other things that are hiding in the couch, the collective financial
right.
couch of Illinoisans. And here's the other story. You talked about the election, you know, and one of the takeaways in Washington from the election there was if you're looking for a bailout in Washington, D.C., with the current makeup of the legislature as we know it today, good luck to you.
Right. I mean, it's going to require both parties coming together to negotiate that in Washington, it appears, depending on the results of that special election, the results of the presidential election. It's going to require the parties to come together and work out that relief. It's not going to be as one-sided as was assumed a week ago or 2 weeks ago before the election. That
right.
It was going to be one party deciding it potentially. And again, that just shows, in my opinion, the short-sightedness of the effort in May to rely on things that may not come to pass. You wouldn't budget your household budget like that. We should not budget our state budget like that.
Yeah. Here's a statement that just came in from one of our listeners. The American Monument text line says, "The state of Illinois shuts down our elected government. It concerns me about what is going on behind the closed curtain with no oversight, i.e. the progressive tax, spending, etc. A dictatorship, right? That people saying, look, our elected officials have no word on all these things that are going on, and we just, you go to work, and you stay home, and you stay there. And I think people want a voice. And right now they feel they're being blocked out because you're not allowed to go to the legislative session. I think it's,
right.
You know, and when you look at the trust issues all thrown in there and the fact that people are hypersensitive right now, you start to create an air of, even further distrust. What about Madigan and the Speaker of the House? Just before I let you go, well, do you think there's enough people, including the governor? I mean, the governor was asked about this last week after Durbin made the comment, and he said, do you think he should step down? The governor just simply said yes. Do you think that will happen?
I would say the odds are better after Tuesday than they were before. There have been 8 Democrats who've come forward and said they will not support the Speaker and have been public with that statement. If all the election results hold, there are a couple that may turn depending on the absentee vote, but if it ends up where it is today, it's 72 Democrats, 46 Republicans in the next General Assembly. That means, yes, he needs 60 votes to be reelected Speaker, so he can basically afford to lose only 12. If he loses 13, then he is in jeopardy of not being reelected Speaker. So it appears the ones being vocal, that they're pushing to have him removed. Some of them are people you'd expect. Others are ones that frankly surprised me that they would come out and be vocal about it. And the ones that have been vocal have been pushing other Democratic members to not support him. So I don't want to. I know that people prognosticate and predict about that all the time, and most of the times when it comes to Speaker Madigan, they've been wrong going on the last 35 years or so. So I'm not going to try to predict, but it does appear less secure than it did before the election.